Hi, welcome back to Mosaics, a podcast of the Idaho Office for Refugees. I'm your host, Holly Beach. Today, it's really fun. We get to be joined by someone from a neighboring state, from Utah. Her name is Desange Quenjera. Hi, Desange. Welcome.
Hi, Holly. Thank you so much for having me. I'm happy to share my story with your audience today, and I hope we can all learn from each other.
The more I learn about your story, the more excited I am, because you found us, which was really cool. You reached out to our Refugee Speakers Bureau online form saying, I want to be involved. And I thought that was so great. And I started to learn about you. And wow, Desange, you're an inspiring person. What you've done and what drives you, I'm really excited for people to get to know you. And you're joining us from your office, your home office in Salt Lake City, correct?
Correct.
Tell us a bit about your journey to get to Salt Lake.
Oh, my journey to get Salt Lake City. So I am my name is Desange Quenjera, originally born in Democratic Republic of Congo, but raised in Uganda. I left Congo when I was a little due to the war. And since then, I basically grew up in Uganda in a refugee camp called Chakatu, and in between Chakatu and Toroko district my whole life. And it has been an interesting journey. And when I look back on it, I would not change it for anything. Yes, there have been struggles as a refugee trying to get out of education for the access to daily basis. But I would say it has been an interesting journey. It has not been boring. That's what I would say. It has been interesting, and it keeps you on your toes. But yeah, we lived in a refugee camp. And after a while, we were transferred out of the refugee camp to the big city of Uganda, which is Kampala. And we lived there for a few years before we got to come here in America. And yeah, in 2014, 15th, that's when we started our journey to America. So yeah.
When you were in the refugee camp, what are some memories that stand out to you? What was difficult for you as a child, and what were ways that you found joy and community there?
I think as kids, being in the refugee camp, I would say to a certain extent is easier because you could play with other kids. You go to school. You know, they have government schools there. I think that would be one of the memorable things. But there's still hardships where you can struggle to find food here and there. But also, the one thing I can remember as climbing trees, getting the mango, getting just foods, and just trying to figure out life in that way.
And I think I saw that you had six siblings. Is that right?
Yes, that's right.
You were with? And were your parents also there with you?
No.
No, they weren't. So it was you and your siblings. And did you have other adults in your life who were caring for you?
Yes, we came with our aunts that we traveled with. And it has been interesting. I would recommend actually get my book so you can read more about my story.
Your book is Undefeated Woman, correct?
Yeah. It's
Undefeated Woman. And you shared your story. Mm-hmm. Well, congratulations on publishing a book and on being vulnerable to put your story out there. I think that's so important to help other people grow and find encouragement. Mm-hmm. You do that not only through your book, but you started a nonprofit, Undefeated.
Yes. I am.
Share a little bit about your nonprofit and what you do.
So Undefeated is a nonprofit organization working in Toroko district in Uganda, in the western part of Uganda. We work with single mothers and youth, especially women who have went through child marriage. We help those women start their own businesses to be able to find hope, because after their failed marriages, that's what's defined them, especially when we're talking on a culture-based mentality and mindset here. Also, we help with the youth. We find sponsors here, people who are interested to sponsor these kids to go to schools. We connect with them, and we connect the student and the sponsor together. They meet the family over FaceTime. And later on, we end up taking them to Uganda with us to be able to meet the families and the students, see that impact that they are doing this children's life. Also, we have partnered with schools. We have clubs within schools that basically we talk about the issues is happening in the community and how can you turn those issues into businesses. And it's been interesting to see our youth, how they've been able to accelerate, I would say, and to just get it out there and to get out of their bubble. So it has been interesting journey to watch, very rewarding. Yeah, I love it.
That's so you actually have U.S. sponsors who get to travel to Uganda and then meet the people they've been sponsoring. That is so cool.
Yeah.
And then the business side too, like address the issue in the community and how can you like the entrepreneurial spirit to meet the need while also building a better life for yourself. Can you give me some examples of what types of businesses came out of that work?
Excuse me. We have youth going to groups. For example, the Rogo District is known for its sometimes food floods. Like each year, they kind of like have a flood that happens, and these people have to move. So there's students who have made their own boats from just that, where they help people bring them safety from wherever they are. There's that. Also, there is kids who have entered into farming to try to help farm. The urban district is big. There's some parts of it that the land or the soil is not good for them to farm. So they're able to bring and kind of try out with this land. You know, like farming cowboys, that's where they use
the silos.
Them. Yeah, like where they raise them. And they kind of like created their own version where they would get kind of a bag and put in soil and carry it to a different side of the village where they will actually plant stuff in there as a town. And this stuff will actually grow out of it. So it has been interesting.
That is so cool.
Yeah, see them just being creative with the work they have done.
Yeah, farming is such a cool way to be connected to the land. We have a global gardens program here in Idaho for people who maybe farmed back in their home country and then coming here want to continue farming. So it helps provide land and resources to help people stay. And they share how valuable that is to them to still like be able to grow food for their community. And stay connected to the land that way. So that's great that you offer that.
Yeah.
You were saying how, you know, you came to the States as a girl, like a school-aged girl. I think you were about middle school?
Middle school. I started in eighth grade.
You were saying online through your website that you feel like a lucky one because you had other friends or other girls in the camp who maybe got married, had to get married at a very young age. Can you share a little bit more about that and how you're involved now in, and you said a lot about the need to refine a sense of self-worth after going through something like that and then being a single mom. How do you, through your work, help people reconnect with that sense of self-worth after going through something like that?
I think first for most, especially the single mothers, we try to educate them about how, what is it called? We try to educate them about their own daughters, especially if they have daughters. We try to educate them how child marriage is not good. I have people that I know that got married at 12 or even 11. I have women or girls of my age who married at a very young age and still trying to figure out life that way. Some of them, their marriages failed and they're out now trying to grasp, especially with everything that's happening in this world. So I would have went through something like that. But coming to America, so I see myself as one of the lucky ones. I've been given education on a higher level that I never thought I would. To me, I've been blessed. I am living a life right now that was a dream, a life I once played for. So when I look back, I'm just blessed. And why not share the blessing of what I've been blessed with? Why not open our these two worlds come together, work with each other, and support each other? It's not an easy journey. I actually never knew what it took to run a nonprofit organization. Not only that, it's not even a local base, but it's a international based organization. The struggle that comes with that, managing two teams, trying to hear from all of them and taking stuff in consideration. So it has been a quite interesting journey, but it has been a blessing one to just see other women rise, to just see these kids find their hope. Because I remember being before as a young girl, now having a resource center to go to, have dreams, stuff to explore, but I did not have the opportunity. And being able to bring these students and into the schools, helping them start on a higher level than I did.
Wow. That's amazing that you say I was one of the lucky ones, and now you are making sure that that's not lost on the other people who weren't able to resettle, and to give hope where they are. What are some of the different cultural differences that you're observing as you have two teams, one in the US, one in Uganda? Do you have a way to like navigate cultural differences or bring the strengths from each one and kind of blend them together? What does that look like for you as a nonprofit manager?
I think as a nonprofit leader, the one thing I learned to put myself in other people's shoes. So being that I have lived in Uganda, I know the stories, the journey, but then that I left when I was young, I still don't know the rules, I'm still learning. Then coming here to America for something, I'm still learning and growing as well. So I would say the culture barrier is back home where I gotta meet these women or understand them where they are. I cannot think when I'm there working with them, I cannot think the American way. Or I cannot think I have to really get on their level, this thing to be able to understand things on their level. To be able to put myself in their shoes. Some of these people don't have education. Some of these people, this is a small village they were born to, grew up in, never left, had kept them here. So how do I navigate this mindset with them to be able to see or help them think outside of the box? With team-wise, helping the US system understand how the Ugandan system works. The Ugandan system, or the whatever country, it's not as it was the USA word. So it's patient. I'm trying to explain it, trying to understand it. Sometimes they get it, sometimes they don't get it. Sometimes they just trust the process. And especially when it comes to abroad and stuff. So I think the culture barriers is just we understand and explain it to how it's dealt, you know. And sometimes I find myself being so impatient when it comes to the Ugandan system or when you're working something in Uganda. It takes so long to get stuff done. I have to be on my team. Like, please, can you get this done? They're like, oh, yeah, we're just waiting on this. Oh, this is how this system works. So as I go and I learn, and it's just myself is a learning process as well. So it just the difference is I have gone there. I know the culture to a certain extent. It's just like understanding some stuff to a certain government on a local government level and kind of try to see how things work. So, yeah, that has been that journey.
Lots of learning. Do you go, how often do you go back to Uganda?
We go every year.
Every year. Wow. You have this quote on your LinkedIn that really stood out to me, and I wanted to hear your thoughts behind it. It's by Andre Ward, and it says, "You do not stay undefeated without being a little stubborn." And I love that word stubborn because this whole year I have been feeling a little defeated with, the state of resettlement and how that's impacting lives. I think a lot of people working in resettlement, it's difficult. And I love that word stubborn because I've been trying to think of like, what's the opposite of how I'm feeling and how do I overcome this? And can you share with me like how you've been stubborn in your life and how you found that quality in yourself?
Well, I said stubborn, and I really mean it. I'm very stubborn person. Because you say that, but I'm very stubborn. If I want something, I believe there's always so many different ways you can do something. It's not only like, how do I say? There's only not one way to, okay, this is the best way to put it. It does not matter what road you take, as long as you get home. That's like how I usually look at it. And I try so many different. If I try this way and it does not work, I go another route. I go another route. I go another route until I get where I need to be. If it means asking for help, if it means reaching out, and sometimes it really requires patience and just waiting and see where it ends. And when you say about what has been happening in the refugee world and basically with everything that's happening right now, I hear you. I understand you, because I sit on the Utah refugee board as well, and it's kind of tough and hard to see what's happening right now. But what I can say is, you gotta stay positive. Sometimes you just gotta believe some roads or some things happens can lead us to a direction that we did not expect. But how do we keep pushing and growing? I think when you're going through a hard time or rough patch, I take the opportunity to learn and grow from that. Because like sometimes those are moments of growth that some people, even if you're going through pain, some people just want to escape. Oh, I just don't want this, because this is not something I'm used to doing. So being adapting to new systems, so how things are going, but at the same time hoping for the best. And praying that whatever we are fighting for survives. And you just gotta keep believing and keeping the positive attitude, which at times can be very hard. But you gotta also see, you gotta look how far you have come and where you are. And sometimes it's okay for you to tell yourself, it's okay, I can breathe here now, and I'm gonna allow life to just play out its course. Sometimes we don't have control over these things.
Wow, thank you for sharing that. What are some ways now in your life that you find joy or ways that you relax or unwind? What does that look like for you, Desange?
For me, I would say dance. I do a lot of dancing, a lot of reading, a lot of TV shows. Yeah, it's been fun. Sometimes just hanging out with friends, catching up, having the conversation, and just, yeah, talking about stuff.
Yeah, and we just drove through Salt Lake City a couple weeks ago on our way to Zion and Bryce National Parks, and it's a beautiful city, the mountains you have there. And is that kind of where you see yourself staying in your future? Is that home to you? Like, what's it like to live there?
I love Salt Lake City. Salt Lake City has a spirit of welcoming people, very open. I think Salt Lake, I'm grateful my journey started out here, where it has like led me in different directions, where I've been able to grow. And not only that, I feel like Utah being positive have like saved me from a lot of things, as much as I travel now going in different states and stuff. When I look back, I feel like I'm so grateful and blessed to have started my life in Salt Lake City. For me, Salt Lake City will always be home. This is a place that I went to middle school, high school, college. My foundation started out here. Salt Lake City will always be home. That being said, since college, I have always wanted to live outside of Salt Lake City, which I took a position where I traveled between Salt Lake City and Texas for a while. For a year, and which was interesting, was fun, kind of like get out there and live in a different state, kind of see, test the waters. I don't know. I would say probably I don't see myself living the rest of my life here, but then I'm very attached to Utah. I may live somewhere else eventually, but Utah will always be home. My old town. That's it. Utah, in the United States, Utah is home.
Yeah, it's a special place in our hearts. We had a great guy named Zay. He resettled from, he was from the DRC, and he got his start in the U.S. in Salt Lake City, and then eventually moved to Twin Falls, Idaho, and ran the refugee program there for a while and was just amazing. He's now in D.C., working at one of the National Resettlement Agency headquarters. So it's just cool to see where people get their start and then what they go on to do. And I feel like it's kind of a sister city to Boise, like we're so close. And I do notice the same care for welcoming that's there as well. So next time you're in Boise, you're going to have to hit me up so I can actually meet you in person.
Yes, definitely.
You do so much more than I noticed too. You're also a model. You're an advocate. You're very driven. Anything else you'd like to share about what you're doing, how people can get involved? I did actually saw that. I don't know if you're still doing this on your with your nonprofit, but can people? There was a tour company in Uganda, and if people went through them, they could help support your organization, Undefeated. Is that still going on?
Yes, that's still happening. So whenever you're traveling to Uganda, we have people go through that. Even if you're not going with us, you can always book through them. And they sponsor a child to go to school. It depends how many people go through them. So and as well, we have a fashion show coming up in February of 2026. I'm really excited. This is a fashion show that we do yearly. It's like more of a gala type thing. We have local designers, models, and dancers. We have culture stuff that will be happening. So I am asking for, since Idaho is our neighbors, if there's any designers or people who are interested to be a part of this, please reach out. We'll love to have you come out and support. Ways to get involved, you can volunteer with us, even Zoom online virtually. We are looking for interns. So if interns are there looking for internship, please reach out. You can become a sponsor, a donor. We can even become a club sponsor where we can actually talk about how that looks like. You can, you can donate, spread word of mouth, share, or get an Undefeated woman. Read about it, understand more about my life or refugee journey, how it usually takes course. I actually share the process of what we really went through or what refugees truly go through to get come to America. So that's a lot of it about myself and what projects we're currently doing.
Can people learn more about this? Is it speakundefeated.org? Is that the best place? Or
yep, speakundefeated.org. That's our website. You can get more information there. You can follow us and be updated on our Instagram, undefeated_UG. And also, you can go on YouTube and watch our student discussions as well. And kind of understand more about what the students do and what they go through and their struggles. And you can see if you can get involved on a large scale like that.
Wow, that's amazing. I'm curious, one final question for you before we wrap up. It's kind of a bigger one, but it just came to my mind. You know, you do a lot to share your story and to help other people share their stories so that others can understand the refugee journey a bit better. You know, why is that important to you? Is there anything you're trying to correct and maybe misunderstandings about it, or just what's your hope through sharing your story like that?
I think sharing my story like that, first and foremost, the whole journey of me reading my book when I came out here first and being resettled in Herman, where there was no diversity at that time, was more to encourage kids to go to school and showing them how blessed and likely they are to have this education. But it turned out to really be more of my healing journey. And I'm truly looking back and seeing what I've learned in my own journey and how I can use it. Not only that, but also people misunderstand refugees thinking they come here, they don't have documents. But these are the people who have waited for those documents for years. Some of them from even 10 years, 20. Some of them are still in the refugee camp waiting. Not only that, also refugees are the people who leave their home being forced. We did not choose to leave our home. But if my home was not having Congo, if it was not having war every other month, I would be more than happy to just be in my own country, go out there and learn. But it's not safe, you know, especially being born in the eastern part of Congo. Yeah, it's not safe. That's where all the minerals is. That's where a lot of killing happened. So I just educating people about that. And also, as much as people say, oh, refugees, immigrations come here and take a job, it's not even about that. These people come here and just work hard, create some of their own opportunity. Not only that, they bring other different unique outlook on the economy. So I feel like sharing my story, I hope someone can learn and see, like, yes, life cannot hold you down. You can always get up. And I'm a big believer that life, you will never be defeated in life unless you let it. Life can never defeat you unless you let it. I think it's about more about learning, growth, and keeping pushing forward and finding your own voice through that.
Wow. Thank you so much for sharing. I know this was a short time together, but I feel really honored just for the chance to get to know you in this capacity. And you've inspired me. I definitely want to read your book now. And thanks for all you're doing. It's cool to see you connecting continents in this way and in a real tangible way like that, and giving back to the community that raised you, you know, through the blessings that you've been able to have in your life and through your grit and your determination. And that's a really good example for me to see right now. And so thank you so much for coming on Mosaics.
Thank you so much for having me. It has been a pleasure to be able to speak to your audience. And I hope we can meet in person at some point and also stay connected to the work together for sure.
Definitely. Thank you, Dasanjh.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining the conversation. For more information on how to be involved with refugee resettlement, please visit idahorefugees.org. Mosaics is produced by the Idaho Office for Refugees with grant support from the M.J. Murdoch Charitable Trust. Music by the Afrosonics. Production in partnership with SB Studios.